All right, let's have all the choir come on and get in the choir. We'll start the service in about 3 minutes.
Number 457. 457, to God be the glory. Let's all stand together. 457. Sing out now.
To God be the glory. Praise be to thee.
that chorus this last time. Put your books down and really sing out Praise the Lord together on the third. Great
things He has done. Great things He has done.
Right there. All, as always, we know that God doesn't just do good things. He does great things. Amen. And I'm glad for that. Glad to see you in the service today. We're good to have all of you here. We've got some visitors here and some home folks that came back through. Tanya, good to see you. Tanya's one of our members. We still claim her. She lives in Tennessee and works for an airline now. She's a flight attendant. But whenever she's in town, we're always glad to see her. Good to see you. And then, sir, good to have you. Tell me your name, please. We're glad to have you, sir. Is this your first time? We're so glad to have you. Thank you for being here. Brother, is it Robish? Okay, got it right. How about that? I'll probably forget it in 5 minutes from now, but I got it right that time. Good to have you, sir. God bless you. We do have some folks. I'll tell you, this pollen is really, really affecting folks. Brother Ed Coker had to leave. Got here this morning, but he told me he didn't feel well. By the time Sunday school was almost over, he come back to me, and I'm telling you, his eyes were almost swelled shut. I mean, he's in bad shape. Of course, he works outside all this stuff. And some other folks are being affected by it with sore throats and stopped up heads and all that. So if you just get one more really good rain, I think that might kind of ease it off. But anyway, but I'm so glad that you're here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the service. When we're through praying, you may be seated. And the choir will sing another number. Brother Joe Hotchkiss, you lead us in prayer.
Amen.
Thank you.
you, choir, for that. We're going to give you a chance. We've met a few visitors and a few other people back. It's been a while. But let's stand, and we're going to greet these folks. Greet each other while the choir comes down. Thank you so much, choir, for the good singing this morning, and thank you for being in the service once again. Good to have all of you here. Appreciate you coming. Please don't forget now, we've got service tonight at 5:30. Be right back here in your place. All right. Well, like I said, we got several people out with sickness due to the pollen and the allergies and all of that, and it can get on you, so you pray for them. Maybe they'll be able to be back tonight, we hope, but we're so glad to have all of you here with us this morning. Before Brian comes to give us some announcements, let me mention a couple of prayer requests real quickly. Continue to pray for Brother Wes Wright's sister, Viola Cook, who's now having to do dialysis 3 times a week. Please remember her in prayer. Continue to pray for Jim Clower, Sherry's husband, as he battles lung cancer. Ms. Blevins, continue to pray for her. I know she's at home. Still got a little bit of that shingles and some other things. So for Ms. Blevins, brother, I mentioned this Wednesday, Brother Joaquin's got a sister up in New Jersey, Molly Melendez, who had a heart attack this past week, and she's in the hospital still. Is she in intensive care? And so please remember her in prayer, if you would. Also, Tina asked us to remember Donnie McLeod, who lives out on Screaming Eagle Road. He's got a lot of stuff going on in his life, and we're going to try to make contact with him and try to talk to him about the Lord. So please remember him in prayer also. All right? Come on, Brian.
All right, don't forget, choir practice at 4:30 today. We'll be doing that right on through Easter. So working on those songs for the Resurrection Sunday. 4:30 for choir, followed by the evening service at 5:30. 7 o'clock Wednesday night service. If you're new to us, we have a service in the middle of the week on Wednesday. 7 o'clock right here. Look forward to seeing you there. The ladies, the only other thing on the calendar this week is the ladies have a meeting up at Bible Baptist in Monroe on Saturday. Now, we told you Wednesday night to prepare to say if you're going to go or not. The meeting starts at 9. You're leaving here at 7. Now, I'm in that number because I'm going to play the piano for something or other. So I'm right there with you. Okay, so meeting here at 7 a.m., by the way, a.m. on Saturday morning. If you're saying, yes, I'm going to go, count on me, because we got to give a count to those ladies up there this afternoon. So if you're going, go ahead and raise your hand. I see quite a few hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I think I counted 11.
Anybody can raise their hand?
I didn't think so. Okay. So 11, that's a good number. Y'all going to have a good time, and we'll look forward to that. Then that's the only thing else on the calendar this week. We'll be back next Sunday, the Lord's Day. We got other things coming up. The Ladies' Jubilee, you don't have any planning meetings until mid-April. It's your next planning meeting for the Jubilee. But keep that in mind. The Jubilee is going to be April 27th. And this Saturday, so be letting people know about that. That's going to be a wonderful time in the Lord.
All right, 441. Let's stand again. And we'll give you a chance to find this that might be not as familiar. 441.
I wandered in the shades of night till Jesus came to me, and with the sunlight of His love in all my darkness day.
While they're coming, let me remind you now about our track challenge. We really got to get back on that now. And our goal is 15,000 gospel tracts this year. Last year we gave out 12. We raised it a little bit. We need you to get these tracts. In fact, April the 14th, which is 2 weeks from today, we're having Track Sunday. Brother Bruce DeLange is going to be here with us. Bruce DeLange is with the Fellowship Track League up in Ohio. That's where we get our tracks from, not the chick tracks, but the other tracks. And they've been doing a great job for years and years and years up in Milford, Ohio. And so he and his wife will be coming through. They sing together, and then he's going to be preaching for us. And you'll enjoy Brother DeLange. And we really want to get these tracks out. Go back there like I tried to challenge you every week to get at least. Listen, everybody can do 7. That's one a day for 7 days. That's easy. I mean, how hard can that be? Really ought to do more than that. And so I'm gonna be my wife and daughter and mother-in-law. They're going to the beach this coming week for a ladies' getaway. So I'm gonna be at home by myself. So I'm gonna get 100 tracks. I'm gonna give out 100 tracks this week. I'm gonna do that. I'll have time. I've got some other things going at the house I got to work on. While they're gone, I'm gonna get out here and give out some tracks. You can do that. Think if everybody here gave 100 tracts out this week, how many thousands that would be. And so we can do that. So get the tracts back here, the chick tracts out. Let me again emphasize, especially to the kids, And I appreciate the children doing it, but we don't want them just grabbing up a handful of tracts and carrying them home and dropping them in their room somewhere. That they're not going to do any good there. So parents, make sure if your children get some, that they're giving them out, okay? We don't want to just throw them away or get rid of them. And we've got plenty of tracts. What's back there plus many more. And so be sure and get those. Get a handful as you go out today. And use this coming week to give out tracts. If you've given out any this week or up till now, you need to see Shelton. Let him know that he's the one that keeps track of the number. And so please see him before you leave and say, hey, I gave out X amount of tracts this week. And that way we can keep a running total of that. And really, the easiest way for you to witness, honestly, is to give out gospel tracts. Hand them out. If you go to the restaurant, leave one. We've got some back there called Thank You for Your Hospitality. And so you can leave them with the tip. And the waitresses and waiters notice that. They pick it up. It says, because number one, they probably don't get thanked very often for their service. And so it says thank you. But on the inside is the gospel. And so you can leave those on a table. You don't have to say anything then. If you'll just stick your tip in there and leave it on the table, they'll pick it up. Don't you worry about it. You let that green stick out the top a little bit, and I promise you they'll pick it all up. So, but there are all kinds of tracts. You can leave them. As I mentioned before, some people actually, when they mail out bills and things, they'll put one in the envelope with the bill. Do that. You never know where it's going to wind up, who's going to get it, and who's going to get saved because of it. And so there's all kinds of ways, and the easiest way to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus is to hand out gospel tracts. So be sure to get some back there and take them with you this week, and then next Sunday be sure to report in how many you were able to give out. Okay? All right, it's offering time, and be sure to give as unto the Lord. Let me mention again, thank you for the way you've been giving on Faith Promise. We need to continue to do that. And as God proves Himself to you in your Faith Promise giving, try to ask the Lord to give you the grace and lead you to increase your missions giving. Increase it by $5 or $10 a month. You say, well, I can't do it. Well, that's the whole point behind Faith Promise, is to let God do it for you. And so if you'll now, I'm not talking about, you know, making a pledge for $1 million. If you believe God's going to give that to you, by all means, pledge that. But, you know, you understand what I'm saying. But still, we want to give more than even we can and let God return it to us or give it to us to give. And He'll do that, I promise you. And the giving's been really good thus far. There are some cards back there on the table. He asks you to fill that card out, the amount you're giving. You do not have to put your name on it. We will not know who you are. And so that's between you and the Lord. We just want to know how much to look for every month. You can give it weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, however you want to do it. If you want to do it in a one-time gift the whole year, then certainly you can do that as well. But make sure that if you do that, that you mark on the envelope, on the tithing envelope, where it says other, just write on there Faith Promise. We'll make sure that anything you give goes. And remember that your Faith Promise is not part of your tithe. Your tithe is 10% totally unto the Lord. You do not take anything. And if you're giving, if you give money in Sunday school or you give to whatever, do not subtract that from your tithe. That's not the way it works. You give your tithe and then everything over that is offering. And that's why we call it Faith Promise Offering or others. And there are other things on the envelope you can designate it for. Okay. All right. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you so much for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity now to give back a portion of that which you blessed us with. Thank you, Lord, for the way our folks have been giving. And God, especially the Faith Promise, and I believe you've honored Anchor Baptist Church financially because people are faithful to give in their Faith Promise. Help us to continue to do that as we try to add more missionaries and get the gospel out more and more, not only here, but around the world. Bless the gift and the giver now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
sound over there. Good. All right. Well, before Pastor comes this morning, we have the Anchor Trio going to sing for us.
Paul stood before Agrippa, before the king. He made this plea. He said, "A light shone down from heaven, and it shined all over me. As I stumbled to the ground, as though I were dead." When he finished his story, well, here's what he said. "I'm saved."
Yes, I'm saved, and from the rooftops I'll shout it. His grace is insufficient for me.
And I know,
yes, I know, without a doubt that I'll make it. I'm signed, I'm sealed, and I'm saved.
Now when I stand before the judgment to give account for all my past, no doubt I'll see my Savior in my robe and crown at last. And when the book of life is open for that final judgment day, I'll just lift my hands toward heaven, and here's what I'm gonna say. Well, I'm saved.
Yes, I'm saved, and from the rooftops I'll shout it. His grace is insufficient for me.
And I know,
yes, I know, without a doubt that I'll make it. I'm signed, I'm sealed, and I'm saved.
Yes, I'm saved.
Yes, I'm saved. And from the rooftops I'll shout it. His grace is insufficient for me.
Well, I know.
Yes, I know. Without a doubt that I'll make it. I'm signed, I'm sealed, and I'm saved.
And I'm signed.
Yes, I'm signed.
And I'm sealed.
Yes, I'm sealed. I'm sealed, and I'm saved. Thank God I'm
account for all my past. No doubt I'll see my Savior in my robe and crown at last. And when the book of life is open, well, on that final judgment day, I'll just lift my hands toward heaven, and here's what I'll say. Well, I'm saved.
Yes, I'm saved. And from the rooftops I'll shout it. His grace is insufficient for me.
Well, I know.
Yes, I know. Without a doubt that I'll make it. I'm signed, I'm sealed, and I'm saved.
Yes, I'm saved.
Yes, I'm saved. And from the rooftops I'll shout it. His grace is insufficient for me.
Well, I know.
Yes, I know. Without a doubt that I'll make it. I'm signed, I'm sealed, and I'm saved.
Yes, I'm signed.
Yes, I'm signed.
And I'm sealed.
Yes, I'm sealed. I'm signed.
Thank you, trio. Great song. The music gets us ready to receive God's word. Listen now as the pastor comes.
Isn't that good? Now that's what we call singing. Amen. They wasn't fooling around. They sang it. Praise God. I like that. And that's, by the way, that song is sound doctrine. The Bible says when we're saved, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That means we're signed. Paul said in the book of Ephesians, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. So we're sealed. And the Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Signed, sealed, and saved. Hallelujah. I like the fact that we sing sound doctrine around here. Amen. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, please, if you would, in your Bibles. Hebrews chapter number 11. I'm going to read this verse and then go to Romans chapter 10. But I want to start in Hebrews, the familiar verse to many of you. Most of you probably quote the verse. Hebrews chapter 11. And then hold your place or find your place there also in Romans chapter number 10. Hebrews 11. And then we're going to go to Romans chapter 10. I got a new Bible here and my pages are sticking together still. There we go. All right. It's page number 1301. If you have a Scofield Bible, stand with me, please, if you're able. In reference to the Word of God, we'll read this verse and then go to Romans quickly and then we'll pray. All right. Hebrews chapter 11. Of course, verse number 1, the Bible said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Now flip, if you will, to Romans chapter 10, and we'll begin reading in verse number 17. The Bible says this, that's page 1204, if you have a Scofield Bible. The Bible said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto disobedient and gainsaying people. Father, we love you today and thank you for the Spirit of the Lord we've already felt. Here in the service, the choir did a wonderful job. The trio, a magnificent job, touched from heaven. I'm glad that I can say that I'm signed, sealed, and saved. Now, Lord, as we open up the Word of God and we take upon ourselves this great responsibility of rightly dividing the word of truth. Father, I'm glad that I can say that I'm saved by grace through faith. Now, Lord, bless the word of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach just a few moments on this thought, faith, what is faith, and how to get it. What is faith, and how to get it, or how to have it? Well, we read here in the book of Romans, of course, Bible says in verse 17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Know that in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, God connects faith with something else. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so anytime you read about faith, grace is close by. Anytime you read about grace, faith is not far behind. The two are interconnected. They're intertwined. They go together like peanut butter and jelly. Hallelujah. I haven't had any long time, but I think about it every so often. Amen. Romans, of course, tells us here about, or Ephesians tells us about grace. You've heard, you've seen the acrostics for the G-R-A-C-E, God's redemption at Christ's expense, God's riches at Christ's expense, and God's righteousness at Christ's expense. In other words, we receive from God something because it cost God everything. All that we have today is because of Jesus Christ. And if you're saved here today and you've experienced the grace of God, hey, you can be not saved here today and experience the grace of God. Because grace is simply unmerited favor. Getting something for nothing. Now, the world says the best things in life are free. That's not so. But the greatest gift you could ever receive is can be received at absolutely no cost to you. Grace is, salvation is free, but it wasn't cheap. Amen? The world has taken the Bible and taken the doctrines of Scripture and cheapened them, lessened them, brought them down from the lofty heights where God intended them to be, and brought them down to a more human level, and in so doing have totally disintegrated, they have totally watered down the grace of God into almost believing that God's grace is by human effort, and it's not so. There's not one thing that you can do to deserve the grace of God. But remember, I'm talking about faith here. Grace is, of course, God's ability to save us. God gives grace. Amen? But faith, grace is God's ability. Faith is man's responsibility. In other words, you're not born with faith. You are not born with faith. You're born with trust. Babies trust their parents. Once the bond is made, then that child will trust that parent until something happens that might break that trust. And so trust is something that is sort of inbred but can be taken away. Faith is something that you are not born with, but something you can acquire, but you can only acquire it by grace. You cannot be identified by faith until you're first made aware of grace. You cannot be saved without faith. The Bible said without faith it is impossible to please God. That's why, as a human being, from the time you were born, you have done nothing good enough to please God. All of your goodness wrapped up into one. May I say that all the goodness of everybody in this building wrapped up into one cannot meet the requirement for God's forgiveness. The only thing that will save you today is the grace of God. Grace is the identifier, but faith is the instrument. Faith. But the Bible says here in our text in verse 17, so then faith cometh. That means it comes from somewhere. It's somewhere else. So then faith cometh by hearing. Now here's the grace of God, and hearing by the word of God. God's grace is what gave us this Bible. It's God's grace that gives you the intelligence to hear, to read, and to understand this Bible. It's God's grace that allows you to get out of bed this morning and come to what we believe, and not we're not boasting, but what we believe to be an old-fashioned, fundamental, Bible-believing church, so that you can hear this very Word of God, so that faith can be introduced to you, and when it comes, it introduces you then to what God calls grace. Grace is God's redemption at Christ's expense. But the word faith, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust Him. That's what faith is. Faith is removing any confidence in self and placing it all upon the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ. Faith is taking yourself out of the equation and placing only the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. There is no other way to heaven. There's no other way to God. There's no other way to receive the goodness of God unless you hear the gospel and receive it by faith and then ask Jesus to come into your heart. And by grace, God will save you. I mean, that's about as simple as I know how to tell it. And you know, that's the reason that man has such a hard time swallowing it. Because it's just that easy. All you got to do is say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And repent of your sin. And say, Lord, I want to do different by the help of God. And the Bible said that immediately God will save you. If a person lacks faith, it's not a matter of weakness. It's a matter of wickedness. See, a man will not accept the grace of God by faith, not because he's weak, not because he doesn't understand, but because he's not or she's not willing to give up the wickedness of their life. The sin that does so easily beset us, and unbelief, all the other things. And I do not want to minimize sin today. We've gotten to the point where we've sort of minimized sin for the opportunity to reach someone. Hey, sin is wickedness in the eyes of God. Anything that goes against what the Bible says. Now, you may say that whatever sin you are doing is not in Scripture. Every sin is recorded in the Bible, and God is against sin. He hates sin. He will not wink at sin. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing it or who taught it to you. Hey, friend, God is not going to excuse your sin. And those sins, those individual things that you do that God calls sin, can certainly send you to hell faster than you need to get saved. The one sin that will certainly overwhelm all the others and carry you to that place called hell is what the Bible describes as the sin of unbelief. The fact that you will not swallow your pride, the fact that you will not say to God, I am a sinner, and I don't want to be a sinner anymore. There's no such thing as God saved me, but I'm going to keep living like I want to. You have not been forgiven of your sin. Faith has not allowed you to say, I'm not going to do that anymore. Oh, the devil's got some of you convinced right now that there's no way that you could ever give up your sin. I'm telling you, friend, we were all there at one time. Thank God, finally, when the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we can live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I'm glad that you can say no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ. Hey, that alcohol doesn't have to rule your life. Those drugs don't have to rule your life. That immorality doesn't have to rule your life. The lying, the cheating, the stealing, all of those things do not have to rule your life. If you'll simply come to Christ by grace through faith. You know what I call faith? God's car wash. All right, Azariah just gave me the chortle of approval right there. Amen. Oh, that's enough. Bible says, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 58, as Jesus was going about doing his good deeds throughout Israel, he went back to his hometown of Nazareth, where he grew up. And here's what the Bible said about Jesus while he was there. And he, that's Christ, did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You realize that your unbelief is the one thing that can stop God? You know, we say and we believe, and it's true, God can do anything. But God cannot save you if you don't want to be. Now, there are some who preach a doctrine that he will no matter what. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. The Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't say anything about God calling you. Now, certainly he does. If you're going to get saved, the Bible said in John 6:44, that you have to be drawn by the Spirit of God. And so you don't just get saved when you want to. But God is not going to save you arbitrarily. If you don't want it, God's not going to force it on you. By the way, that's the same logic that goes along with this thought, and that is if you go to hell, it won't be God that sends you, it'll be you. Somebody said, I can't believe a loving God has sent me to hell. No, a loving God's going to give you what you want. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, if you don't want to get saved, then that means you want to go to hell. And if you want to go to hell, God will let you go, but he doesn't want you to. Oh, he's done everything he can to keep you from there. But if you want to go bad enough, he loves you enough to give you what you're asking for. Just remember, though, there are a lot of times when my children may have wanted something, we say no, and they kept on, and we let them have it, then they found out it wasn't so good after all. And we didn't force it on them anymore after that, because the point was taken. Now, here's the problem. If you die without Christ and go to hell, there won't be any second chances. There's not going to be the opportunity for God to do it better. God's done it the best he can. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Let me give you three thoughts real quickly this morning on faith, what it is and how to have it. Number one, if you'll notice in our text, the object of faith. The object of faith. What is faith aimed at? Well, the object is, in fact, Almighty God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If faith comes from the Word of God, and we know that the Word is God, John chapter 1 and verse 1, then that means faith is to be directed at God. He is the object of faith. Hey, faith is not positive thinking. Faith is not hoping for the best. Are you a Christian? You're going to heaven when you die? I hope so. That hope means we'll see how it turns out. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I have never, since I've been saved, answered the question if I was asked, do you know you're going to heaven when you die, with I hope so. I've answered for 42 years, I know so. because of what Jesus did for me. Faith is not positive thinking. Faith is not hoping for the best. Faith is no better than its object. Faith is no better than its object. If God is the object of our faith, is there anything better than God? And yet He, in His Word, is offering you faith. And it's not a faith from man's perspective. It's faith from God's perspective. The kind of faith that doesn't just make you feel better. That's the kind of faith that saves your rotten soul and gives you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Faith is no better than its object. The object of our faith is God Himself. The objective of our faith is to please God Himself. Can I say the objection of our faith is ourself? If you walk out of here unsaved, you have decided that what you have or what you are is more desirable and more needful and wanted more than a life with Christ in eternity in heaven. Now, when you ask someone in a sort of a conversation, the vast majority, not all unfortunately, but the vast majority of folks, you ask them, would they rather go to heaven or hell? They'll answer heaven. Now, here's the problem. They want to go to a heaven of their own choosing. They want to go to a heaven of their own building. They want to go to a heaven of their own human desire. They want to go to heaven where they can drink. They want to go to heaven where they can run around on their wife. You say, preacher, that's ridiculous. But when you decide that your sin is more desirable than Christ, that's exactly what you're saying. Now, they would argue and say, I don't mean that at all. Then why is it you don't want to give up whatever it is in order to go to God's heaven? So we find the objective of faith, or the object of faith, is Almighty God, and that is to know Him. Number two, quickly may I say, what is the origin of faith? What does the Bible say in our text? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The origin of faith is God's Word, and that's where we hear Him. We hear Him. In Romans chapter, in verse 17 I just read, notice if you would, number one, what happens when God, through His Word, sends us the opportunity for faith? Number one, when we hear, faith comes by hearing, what do we hear? First, we hear His intention. What is God's intention? Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, the Bible said, and this is God speaking, this is God. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God said His intention is for you to go to heaven. The Bible said, God said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what He expects. Have you ever bought into life, a day in your life, with an expectation that it didn't happen? You expected one thing, something else happened. By the way, you know what that is? That's the free will of man. That's life. Remember I said a moment ago that God will not force Himself on you. He has an expected end for you. He wants to give you peace and joy and happiness and meet your needs and love you and be with you and comfort you and guide you and give you solace. I'm telling you that's what He wants, but He's not going to force it on you. If you decide you don't want it, don't get mad at God when He doesn't provide it. Amen? So if you're going to experience the origin of faith, which is the Word of God, you must hear God's intention. Number two, we must also hear His instruction. Yeah, you got to hear His instructions. You know, God has given us instruction. He's told us how, why, where, and when. He's told us all them things. You do not have to go into your last years and into your dying breath wondering how. God's already told us how. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's how. He's told you why. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why. When is whenever God calls you. When the Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, I don't understand. We're all guilty. I know I am. You get something and just frustrates you so bad because it doesn't go together like you want it to. And the last thing you do is read the instruction. I think I've sort of come to the conclusion that even if I think I know how to do it, I read the instructions anyway, just to be on the safe side. You know, they've gotten now where instead of word instructions, they do pictures. That's even better. Yeah, that's even better. You say, well, preacher, there's no pictures in the Bible. Sure there are. It may not be within the pages of the Word of God, but look around you. How many people here are saved today? There's your picture. Pick one. Just pick one. Everybody's life is different. Everybody's sin is different. Everybody's way to God might be different, the circumstances. But everybody here has the same expected end. That is to be saved in order to go to heaven. You got to hear his instruction. Here's what Psalm 32:8 says. I got to hurry. God said this. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with thine eye. Can God do any more? You don't have to hope that the X on the map finds the treasure. God said, if you'll just follow me, I'll get you where you need to go. I'll guide you. I'll teach you. I'll even watch you and make sure you're going in the right direction. What else? What more could God do? We know his intention. We know his instruction. And then we see his invitation. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, I quoted a moment ago. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white. I'm telling you, that's an invitation. How in the world can you turn down an invitation like that?
How could you do it?
Well, it's easy. You just decide that what you want is more important than what he wants. But I'm telling you, and I've said this many times, and I'm going to close in a moment, but I usually say this during the invitation, whatever decision you make today, you're going to have to live with. You hear that sound? Hear that? Possible somebody made an eternal decision. Now they're fixing it. You walk out of here without Christ, you won't only have to live with it, they have to die with it. And when that happens, there's no going back. So the object of faith is God. The origin of faith is the Word of God. And let me close this. Well, I got two more, actually, so let me hurry. The objective of faith is the will of God. The objective of faith. Faith is not man's way to get to heaven. It's God's way of getting his will done on earth. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. See, your faith, your hope says, we'll see how it comes out. My faith, my hope is the faith in God that is the substance. It gives it guts. I'm not just hoping it'll work out. My hope's got guts. My hope's got something with it that says, I'm going to pull you through. I'm going to get you there. Faith is not what we have, but we have to do the will of God. Faith is that we get to do the will of God. You realize, listen, I am today by the grace of God through faith. What I do every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night is not because I want to go to heaven. It's because I'm already going. And I just want you to know that you don't have to do anything to get there. If you'll come by faith to the grace of God, you'll want to do everything you can to pay it back. And you won't live long enough to pay it back. How can we repay the blood of Jesus? How can we repay the grace of God to save us when we don't deserve it? We all deserve to burn in hell.
Right.
Somebody said, well, I don't like that kind of preaching. I don't care. That's sound doctrine. Object of faith is Almighty God. The origin of faith is the Word of God. The objective of faith is the will of God. Let me close with this. The operation of faith. That is the work of God. I remember I said that grace is God's ability and faith is man's responsibility. It is your responsibility not to conjure it up and work it up. It's your responsibility to ask for it. It's your responsibility when it is presented, accept it. Or, because you're a human being with a free will, reject faith. Remember I said faith is God's car wash. Remember what it said? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Got to go through. Or by grace, are you saved through faith? You go in one end of God's grace, and you're a dirty, rotten sinner. Come out the other side clean. Amen? The whole while you're in there, faith washing you. Faith is cleansing you.
Faith, hallelujah. Faith said, I'm going in this side. And grace said, you'll come out the other side better than you went in.
I'm telling you, if I went in a car wash and came out dirtier than I was on the other side, I'd want my money back. And see, the sad thing is, there are people who are putting their confidence in man's way to heaven, and they're going in one end dirty and coming out the other end dirtier. Because religion will make you dirtier.
Man's ability will make you dirtier.
If you'll go through faith, grace will make you clean when you come out. Yeah. The operation of faith is the work of God. We are not saved through faith and works. We are saved by faith. We don't obey God go to heaven. We obey God because we're saved and already going, as I mentioned. And lastly, God offers faith to us so we can operate by faith through him. If you think coming to church is going to be good enough, you're messed up. I'm glad you're here. If you think coming to Anchor Baptist Church is going to get you to heaven, you're in a bad way. Now, this is where you can find it, the way. We try to preach and teach and sing the way. But you being here, and again, I don't want you to misunderstand. I'm grateful that you're here. I want you to come every time the door's open. The saddest part of all of that is there are people who have, in fact, gone to church their whole lives. And somebody told them they were okay. And they lived their whole life and died. An old person having been in some church for 50 years. And they have their funeral and they talk about what a good member they were. And they talk about what a good person they were. They'll even mention something about a professional of faith. Friend, if it's not by grace through faith, you have sat in a church pew your whole life for nothing. Nothing. Because church is not the answer. It sure is the place to find the answer. If they're preaching sound doctrine. Friend, or by grace, it's God's ability. See, by grace, you say, not by you or me. By grace, it's God's ability. That you're saved through faith. That's your responsibility.
Now the question is, you know where you're going when you die? And you say emphatically, and I can. I'm telling you, I can say emphatically that I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Because I've been through God's car wash. I went through faith and God squirted grace all over me. Amen. Hallelujah! Grace is like wax. Dirt and water just washes off of it. Put wax on your car, you don't get all that mess in your paint. I'm telling you, if you'll go by grace through faith, God will clean you up so good. I didn't say you'd be perfect. So you can take your car through the car wash and get it clean as a whistle like new, and it'll break down on the side of the road. You know what you got? A very shiny piece of junk. See, some people use religion as the car wash and the church, and then they break down along the road, and they look good, but they go to hell anyway. Now, I know that's not popular preaching, but that's good preaching. That's sound doctrine. All I'm saying is if you'll come to Jesus Christ by faith, I believe He died for me. I believe that He rose again for me. Somebody said, well, I believe all that, but there's a little bit more to that. There's something called repentance that you don't hear much about anymore. Repentance is I believe He died for me. I believe He rose again for me. I believe He can save me, but I have to be willing. That's where the faith comes in. Walk away that old life. Now, here's the thing. Once you decide to walk away, God will so clean you up until He'll make you a new creature in Christ. It's amazing. It is so. I was talking to my mother. Yes, I'm done preaching, but talking to her on the phone. And all my life, I'd never heard a whole lot about my mother or my dad's kind of childhood and all. So I was talking to her about some things, and she got saved when she was 15 years old. And she was telling me some about her early Christian life where she sort of got away from God. But anyway, got to talk about my dad. Of course, he'd never been to church. My dad's family, all theirs, all lost and wicked drunks. And anyway, he got saved. Here's what she told me. And I was driving down the road on my way to North Carolina for my niece's birthday party. And we were talking on the phone. And I just got so excited. She said, I'll tell you. She said, when your dad got saved, these were her words, when your dad got saved, he was so different until I was afraid of it. Then she said, now let me explain what I mean. She said, I knew how to deal with him when he was in a drunken stupor, and I knew how to deal with him when he wasn't paying the bills. And I sort of, you know, and she said, and I dealt with him like most women would. But then he got saved, and God so cleaned him up till I wasn't sure how to act around him. Hallelujah. That's the reason at 12 I made a profession of faith, because I saw such a change in him until I figured if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. Now, I didn't go by faith. I went by sight. Dad got cleaned up, and I said, well, I'm going too. It wasn't until 5 years later that I realized that I was a sinner and that I can't go to heaven on somebody else's change. Got to get my own. And I got saved at 17. Been saved ever since. Thank God. So then faith cometh by hearing. You can get it. You can have it. Bless God, you can live with it. And God will be good to you. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Father, we love you today. Father, I'm glad for faith. Now, it's not something, when I say it's man's responsibility, it's not something you can turn on and off like a water faucet. It's something that when a man, woman, boy, or girl comes to the realization that they in themselves cannot please God. The Bible said without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith is not knowledge. Faith is trust. Faith is trusting in something you may not be able to fully understand. But you believe it because it does something in your soul. Father, there are people in this room right now who think religion is the answer. That Anchor Baptist Church is the answer. That carrying a Bible is the answer. That even giving out tracts might be the answer. But Lord, without faith, it is impossible to please God. If they've not directed their faith in God Almighty, where the grace of God that only God can provide will wash them clean and change them. The Bible says that if a man is saved, if he's born again, he's a new creature.
That's automatically what happens when faith takes us into grace. And we never live our lives for self anymore. I'm not saying that self doesn't get involved. He does. We don't live our lives by self. So, Father, if there's someone here this morning, and I know they know they are, and you know they are, and that they'll just say, I don't want to go to hell. I want something better than what I have. And I wish they'd step out and come and say, I want to place my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost of God will introduce them to the grace of God that comes from heaven and will save their wretched soul and clean them up and change them. Not for a day or a week or a month, but forever. And take them to heaven when they leave this world. They can say, I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. Father, but now I'm finished. I can't do any more. If it happens, you'll have to do it. And they'll have to be responsible to ask for it. Because if they don't, then they'll be responsible to answer for it when they stand before God Almighty. Please save somebody today. May that one that's away from God get right today. Those that are they know that things in their life will not bring the peace of God and the blessings of God because it's sin, it's wicked, and God cannot bless that. May they come and say, God, here it is. I'm not going to do it no more. I want your blessing on my life. But I know that you cannot bless me when I'm in this condition. So forgive me. Help me to do it the right way. Others may have some need or desire upon their heart. May they come to this altar and bring it to the throne of grace. Have your way, God, in this invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please, all over the house. 100.